Welcome, everyone. That is here. All right, quiet. Welcome, welcome. I have Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim with us. We're already in the glory, drinking the glorious Holy Ghost wine.
We call it
juice. Right here in the bottle. It's living water. But we are speaking on our Wednesday night roundtable discussion, and we really enjoy these times because we elaborate more and more on what we have been speaking about, and you know, God is leading us in what we want to call a rhema word. It's a live word. It's a living word, and we're constantly seeking, you know, what He wants to say to the world. Because God loves the whole world, not just one side of the world or the other side of the world. He loves the whole world. Yep. And there's a purpose of us here being created, not just to die and pay taxes and, you know, try to fight through this paper bag we're fighting in and make a life out of ourselves. Yes, we need to enjoy ourselves and enjoy the world and the things of it, but at the same time, there's a purpose, and that purpose is not your career, but it's, and you know, there's books out, your God's purpose, your divine purpose,
yep.
And
purpose,
you know,
driven life.
Purpose-driven life, and all that stuff, and your purpose, you know, and everybody wants to know, what's my purpose, what's God's will for my life, and...
You were talking about it today.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the will of God.
Lay it down.
You know, not many people understand what the will of God is.
True.
And He desires us to trust Him with all our heart, soul, and mind.
Yep.
To put Him as the deity of the Creator and to embrace Him and love Him or trust Him as we would do with a Heavenly Father or an earthly father.
When you're a child.
Yeah, and a mother.
And respect, too. God wants to be respected.
Right.
You know, He wants that honor and respect that you would give your father or your mother.
Well, here's a perfect example. Just take yourself as an individual. How do you want to be viewed as for someone to express their love towards you?
Sure.
So that attribute that you see is really what the same as what God desires.
Correct.
And so that's the will of God. On top of that, we have to understand creation, what we were born in, and understand how to basically surrender the life that we were born in and create a new life in Him or in God or in the family. We were born in a nature that we recognize and call it soul, but there has other interpretations of it called the sin nature.
Flesh.
The flesh.
The old man.
The old man. And we need to lay that down. We've been saying a word in the past, kill, and we realize that that's not appropriate. And I respect that word that was given to me, and I very respect that individual, and I hope they're listening right now, and I honor and respect that, and we embrace this type of criticism, and I'm publicly speaking about it because in the past we mentioned kill. We have to put down, we have to separate and divide this soul, the flesh, and raise the spirit. There's a process in it, which I'm going to just give you the most easiest direction on how to come out of the soul and lay that soul down so it eventually shrivels up and disappears. And then to raise the spirit up and empower the spirit for an eternal life.
Right.
The soul's job is to deceive you. It's to rob, steal, kill, and destroy your life. Not only your life, but your eternal life. That's the purpose of the soul. It thrives and eats sin. We'll get into what sin is maybe later, or I'll just give you a brief overview of it. It's a desire that we have that is inside of us that creates a driven heart, a driven purpose in us that causes our heart to be troubled.
Creates a hunger in us.
It creates a hunger.
An unsatisfiable hunger.
And until we get it. And then somehow we will do whatever we possibly can to get it. We'll lie, cheat, steal, manipulate.
But then another hunger will come out of there.
Oh, it's always there. It's always there.
But that's when it goes.
Well, soul thrives on this.
Yep.
It needs to eat it. Our nature is constantly thriving for our desires.
Yep.
Now, there's nothing wrong with desires. And I want our listeners to understand that, because I'm going to take myself. I'm one without sin. But I desire a lot. I want a lot. I desire a lot for my children. I desire a lot for my family. I desire a lot for myself. I desire a lot for my friends. I desire. But the difference, what makes me without sin and allows my desires to be there and be holy, because the desires are from God. They are God-given gifts for you to desire. And I'll maybe get into that later. But what separates me from one without sin and having desires without sin is I don't allow my heart to be troubled.
Correct.
I don't let them drive me. If it happens, praise God. If it doesn't happen, praise God. But this is my desire. And that gives the glory to our supreme being, our creator, God. And that's his will. If anybody wants to know what his will is. By doing that, you're subduing the soul. You're putting down the soul. You are causing the soul to starve.
Yep.
By not allowing your heart to be troubled. And that in itself starts to shrivel and be disintegrated, pass away or what have you. But at the same time, by you doing that, you begin to raise the spirit up. And this is what our whole purpose of this gospel is to bring a word to divide the soul and bring the spirit to life. And there is more to this, because there's fruits of the soul, and then there's fruits of the spirit. And we have to begin to lean towards the fruits of the spirit so that we can continue to show fruits worthy of repentance, so to say. Repentance is not saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Look, it's no one's fault because they were born in a soul. It's given. We're all born in this nature. We're all born. And the issue is we just have to be aware that we were born in this nature and be able to realize that this nature is not healthy for us. It destroys our marriage. It destroys relationships. It destroys everything.
Your life.
Your life. It destroys your life.
You don't have a life.
You don't have a life. You're lost and you're confused. You don't know what direction you need to go in. And this is where most people say, you know, I just want to know God's will for my life.
Yeah. Tell me what to do. What do I do?
And I'm going to tell you what to do, because by doing what we just said, put you in the spirit. Now, this is the beauty. The soul puts you into an intellectual understanding that you have to do it, that you have to create it. You have to manifest it.
Well, it's all about self.
Right.
It's basically saying, you have to do it. I need to do this. I need to do that. Or it's not going to get done.
Exactly right. Where as you raise the spirit up,
yep,
and the spirit begins to take over your life, and you walk in spirit, manifest the fruits of the Spirit, then you are led by the Spirit.
True.
And that's where God opens up the doors where nobody could open up, you see? Puts you in those divine connections, you know? Puts you in the right place at the right time. Blesses you so that you can keep what you have, not lose what you have. You know, Sam mentioned something where I spoke about, I want to keep my friends, you know, I don't want to lose them. I want to keep my investments. I don't want to lose them, you know?
Yeah, I want to sell a house. I don't want to lose it. You know, I want to sell my car. I want to, you know, I don't want to have to, I don't want to lose to the bank. I want to have control, you know?
Or have it even break down. Cause
I want to have it, like, and then he said, yeah, you want to have a fruitful life. You know, God says that you know, his desire for us is that we would bear much fruit. Yeah. But then it goes on to say the second part, which is the most important part, is that your fruit would remain.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you bear fruit and it goes away the next day. You have to have fruit that remains. And like Pastor was saying, you know, if he knew what he knew now, he'd have four businesses supporting him right now and what he's doing and be able to just relax. You know, but that word, you know, we're talking about the will a lot. And that word will means desires. When you break it down, the word will means desires. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like Pastor said, you know, we're born with a fragment of the soul and a fragment of the spirit inside of us. And depending on what you feed is what's going to grow inside of you. It's like a baby. You could have a baby that's the soul, which is desires for the flesh and desires for the world. And you can have a baby that's desires for spiritual things, for peace, joy, righteousness, and all that stuff. And that's the two desires that we're fighting against. And Pastor was talking about repentance a little while ago, and you're going to give a definition of it. But you stopped. But,
oh, okay.
If you want to go back.
Yeah. The definition of repentance is changing the way your thought pattern is, changing the way you're thinking. When you allow, we're giving you truth. And the truth is, don't let your heart be troubled.
Correct.
That's like the core. You know, I'm giving you two nucleus cores of salvation. One, trust God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And I know that that's impossible, especially when you can't see God.
Yep.
You know, it's like, how are you supposed to trust something that doesn't exist?
Just do it.
You just got to do it. You just got to trust me and just do it. I know it's impossible, but that's where faith comes in. And a lot of people are operating in the dark faith. When their hearts are in trouble and they're allowing their hearts to be troubled, they're manifesting a faith too.
Correct.
Absolutely. They're trusting in devastation. It'll never work.
Yep.
You see, they're not trusting in a positive end of it. So I'm given what the world knows. The world knows, you know, positive thinking and negative thinking.
Yep.
Well, I was talking to an individual a couple days ago, and we were talking about soul. And he asked me, what's the difference between soul and spirit? Like, how do you know when you're in soul? How do you know when you're spirit?
A lot of people ask that question. That's a good one.
Well, the soul, you had said earlier, you're driven. You're being driven by your desires.
Right.
When you're in spirit, you're content.
You're at peace.
Contentment, mm-hmm. Correct. It's not complacency, because complacency can deceive you, but it's contentment. Being content with what you're doing, with where you're at, and allowing God to move you in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not content, you're going to be moved all over the place because you're going to be driven by your own desires.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in spirit, there's a contentment there, mm-hmm. and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and all of a sudden, you're inspired to do something.
Well, you know, it's a good point that you said that, because I want to tell our listeners out there that's why it's important to get connected to us, really. We have individuals that were considered a spiritual guide to them, because they're not quite mature enough to understand the difference between the soul and the spirit.
Yeah,
and I respect that. Honor that.
They're being honest.
Yeah, and they just want to check. Am I right in what I'm thinking and doing, or am I wrong in my thinking and my doing? And it might be a little critique, or it might just be, no, you're exactly right in what you're doing, just don't let your heart get all upset over it.
Amen.
You see? Yeah. I truly am a believer that God dwells with us, and he leads us and guides. He wants to.
Yeah.
And he gives us these thoughts and our desires, his will, to create a life. The difference between the two, where the flesh comes and tries to rob, steal, and destroy, or the soul comes and robs, steals, and destroys, is it causes us, our minds, to infiltrate, and that's why we need to come into repentance. changing the way we're thinking. Our mind comes in and infiltrates us to think a certain way where our hearts begin to get troubled.
Yep.
And it steals our peace and it steals our joy.
You start worrying, you start having fears, right, or anxiety about the thing never coming to pass.
And we want to take control. And we feel as though that we have to control everything or possess the
issue. Yeah.
When we can surrender it to God, our creator, the unknown, you know, by faith, just giving it up, letting your heart to calm down. Because I truly believe the power is within the heart.
Yeah.
But not the pumping blood part. You know, it's the spirit of the soul, spirit of the spirit. You know, it's the manifestation of life.
Let me read this real quick before you go on. This is right along what you're saying.
Okay.
It says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart."
There it is, right there.
That's what the sword is there.
Exactly right. So I believe you don't have to accept God. I believe God has already accepted you.
Correct. He receives us first.
Exactly right. This is why I love God, because he first loved me.
Exactly.
You see?
Exactly.
And so I want all of our listeners out there to know that you don't have to go seek him. He's already there. What we need to do is begin to discern the manifestation of our life. Yeah. Is it a hot mess? Are you concerned to the point where you're worried, you're sleepless?
Fear.
Yeah, you have fear. You are manifesting a faith.
Yeah.
But the faith is on the dark side of it, where that faith is going to eventually destroy and cause you to do things out of line, or so to say. But if you have faith in our creator, God, the unknown, then you're going to lay it down. You're not going to possess it. You're not going to control it. And you're going to let destiny or life itself unfold. And you're going to embrace it and be grateful for it and thankful for it, no matter which direction it goes, because you know that God's love turns all things around for the good.
Right.
This is why it's important to really embrace the truth that we have here, because it'll get you to repent, which is changing the way you're thinking. Because darkness alters our minds. This is the only place where the soul has power through the thoughts of mankind. The heart is really the discernment of our subconscious, and have a conscious awareness of what our heart is manifesting and how we are getting ourselves upset or what have you. When we, you know, I find that the powers beyond, on the dark side, understand the reality of eternal life.
Correct.
Because the age that we're living in, look at the deception that is out there and is actually causing entertainment, something that we long for to watch, and then we pick it up in our own lives, is drama.
Yeah.
And drama is like someone that is just a hot mess.
Yep.
Running around just creating,
causes a troubled heart.
But yet it became entertainment to the world.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to go into this area right now, because I'm showing you powers that are outside of us that are influencing the eternal purpose of creation and saving all of creation. But besides that, let's focus more within ourselves, so that we can bring ourselves into submission, so that we can bring ourselves into the spirit. You know, if you want a peaceful world, this is where it starts. You can't bring a peaceful world by telling somebody you have to do something.
Correct.
No, you can't. You can't do it. You have to be able to bring each individual into a place of peace, into the spirit, where they have peace and joy and righteousness, so they don't feel guilty or ashamed about themselves, in order for them to bring peace to the world. Because if you don't have peace, the world isn't going to have peace. And you can tell them all day long, you got to love your brother. But if you don't have even love for yourself, how are you going to love your brother? But moving forward, You know, I'm believing that this truth is what the world is really looking for. I saw on Facebook not too long ago, there's an actor out there that has begun to start saying things that, and he's a comedian, somebody knows him, you know, but I don't want to mention any names out there. But this individual has stirred up some stuff where it got other people to start looking at, you know, really, the things that we were brought up and the things that we were brought into tradition and the knowledge that has given to us from generation after generation, are they really true?
Yep.
And I'm glad that those things are being questioned, because now they can start questioning the gospel. They can start questioning the gospel message that, whether the church or the synagogue or the Hindus or whatever secular or
whatever religion.
Yeah, whatever religion they come from, they can begin to start questioning what is truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pastor Tim came up with a comment earlier that, you know, this truth isn't new. It's since the beginning of time, beginning of creation. Yeah. We're just digging it back up, resurrecting it, and getting it to the nitty-gritty. It's not about the gospel message, it's about prosperity in a financial area. You know, it's about literally understanding the power of our creator, understanding the power of our destroyer, knowing where we were born in, which is born in sin, or not really, we were born in the soul that loves to eat sin as food.
It desires,
but there is nothing wrong with desires. It turns dark when your heart becomes troubled.
Yeah.
I believe all desires are from God.
Correct. Yeah. That's right.
Okay? I want the world to understand that, because a lot of individuals have desires that they beat themselves up to the point where they don't know how to handle it. And then some people will say, well, what about this? What if a person desires that? Well, you know what? A little leaven spoils a whole bunch. So that desire could have been of God in the very beginning.
And you got perverted.
But it created and manifested a level of sin to where it went a little bit of sin. And then that went from this page to that page. Mm-hmm. And on that page was much bigger. Right. And then went from that page to this page. And it became much bigger.
And it becomes totally different.
Okay, let's take being angry. Here's a perfect one, because I'm not going to go into another section. I was going to go into another area, but I'm going to take anger, because anger is something we can all relate to. Let's say we have an anger issue, okay, and we don't really manifest it in the spirit and not let our heart get troubled, and we let it go. No, we begin to manifest it. Now that anger turns into hate, okay? Mm-hmm. Now we didn't let it go because of our lack of knowledge. We let it feed. That hate now, because we didn't let it go into the spirit by giving it to God, that hate actually turned into murder.
Yep.
You see?
It spirals.
So I want our listeners to have a broad sense. When we speak, we're talking about the beginnings of sin. You know, don't throw something big at me like murder and tell me how a desire of murder could be God's will,
right?
Because I hear that coming at me, you know. How can if it's a desire and they have this desire to go murder somebody, how can that desire be God? You know, you can be angry, okay, and you probably have every right to be angry,
correct?
Because they must have been done something injustice, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what started your anger, but sin fed it. And then your mind comes in and lies to you and deceives you and starts adding to it. And now you're justifying your anger and you're creating more stuff. And now all of a sudden that anger turned into a raging hate.
Yeah.
And then that raging hate turned into a legal place of you being able to murder somebody. I mean, we just came across something that on the news not too long ago. We won't mention any geographical locations or different denomination or whatever. Yeah. We won't mention anything. We'll keep it really sweet and cute and
but
and pretty.
See how it turned into.
And that person actually thinks that they're justified. Yeah. But the reality is it was soul.
Correct.
It was all soul mixed with a lie.
Yeah, with no truth. There you go. Because
with
the,
no truth.
Because the scripture says that he's sending the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit, to divide soul from flesh. Yeah. And it's going to show, it's going to reveal the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our job. Our job is to take truth and apply it to the thoughts and intents that are in our heart. I mean, that's our job.
And when I believe, I believe this is what you're saying, our job meaning an individual's person's responsibility.
Correct.
Not GTTN's
no, it's
job.
No, it's everyone's, you know? Everyone's job.
Everyone
to
has
discern
to take
their own heart, their own thoughts, their own intents, because the heart's deceivingly wicked. That's not painting a picture here. Yep. The heart is deceivingly wicked. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's why the spirit comes in to divide the soul from the spirit. Because the soul's going to tell you one thing, the spirit's going to tell you something else. They're not going to be the same thing. It's going to be the soul telling you one thing, spirit telling you something else. If you believe the soul gets created. The soul's desire gets created. You believe the spirit's desire gets created. You're going to create one or the other based on your belief.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't want to alter off that desire. It all comes from God.
Correct.
Okay.
It does.
It's not like the dark realm comes with a desire, and then God comes with a desire.
The soul perverts the desire from God.
Exactly right. The soul begins to deceive.
Yeah.
The desire.
Correct.
Tells you you can't get it if you don't do this or do that or whatever. It drives you to take on your own strength and your own efforts and your own intellectual
where
understanding.
There's no trust in God, period. It's basically yourself.
Yeah, you can't lay it down.
You can't lay it down.
You can't say, hey, God, I got a desire, and you know what? If it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, they're not trusting God to open up that door.
Yeah.
They look at it as there is no God, and I have to go and make an effort to open up that door.
Yep.
When, yes, you may have to make an effort, but let the Spirit give you the motions to
through
move.
Through peace.
Yeah, through peace. Like, for instance, this is a vision that I have right now. Let's say you see a very nice person out there, you know, whether you're a male or a female, and you're looking at another person and you like that person, and you say, wow, Lord, you know, I really like that person, I want that nice person to come into my life, yada yada yada, and you know, God, right there, that desire is manifest by God. Okay, you lay it down. Okay, now darkness might say, oh, well, you got to go do something, you know, you got to go over there and you got to do something, you know, offer her a drink or offer this, offer that. You know, and you might stumble because you really don't want to, but you feel like you have to, and you go and do it. And then you wind up falling on your face. It wasn't the right appropriate time or something. But at the same time, the same manifestation could come, and you have peace. You know what? I'm going to go. You know, you're not forced to do something.
You're not uncomfortable.
You're not feeling uncomfortable.
You have courage.
Yes, you have courage. And that courage is from God. God gives you the strength. He gives you the courage. He gives you the will. You know, the whole nine yards. And when you do, it seems like you don't stumble. You don't trip. You tend to stand on your own two feet. It's the right time. That person embraces you, doesn't give you the cold shoulder because it's the right timing. The door is open.
And that also builds up your encourages you to believe that there was the word of God.
Exactly right.
And then you can build that relationship with him saying, man, God, you know, you're awesome. You did. Now I can trust you. Now I know this is really you.
Well, this is the whole purpose of building that relationship with God. And that's why, you know, I ask our listeners to keep logging on so that they can learn how to walk with God. We need to learn how to walk with God.
Right.
We've been walking with the soul all our lives.
All our life.
And we've been let down, disappointed, you know, tired, weary, you know, the whole nine yards, because everybody's fighting to survive.
Correct.
When the reality is you don't have to fight. The battle's already won in the eyes of God. And he does the fighting for us. We just need to walk with him.
Right.
You know, I just want to get the audience to think outside the box for a second.
what we've been speaking upon is so pertinent for eternal life, okay?
Yeah.
And it's the only way to have eternal life. Picture yourself as an individual standing before a king, okay? And the king has an open throne to his right, okay? And the king says, I'm going to grant you a free gift. I'm going to give you this throne over here. But I'm only requiring you to do one thing. And the one thing is, I'm just asking you to deny yourself. Deny your soul. Just put it aside. And when you do that, you'll watch me work in your life, and I'll give you this throne over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God's saying to every single person in this world. It's easy to say, hey, you know what? I'll work at it. I'll do this. I'll do that. But he's not saying that. All he's saying is deny.
Yeah.
Deny yourself. Deny your soul. Deny your will. And watch me work in your life, because now you're actually trusting me. And I'm going to grant you a seat. This seat right next to me with high honor and esteem. And you're my right-hand person.
Right.
And it's a free gift. I'm just asking you to do one thing.
Right.
But who wants to take that on? That's what God's saying tonight. Like, who wants to take this on? Like, we have the piece to the puzzle to grant you eternal life.
Right. Well, how about just a life period?
Or a life period.
Yeah. How about a life right now? Because I believe this. Most people are more concerned about their life now.
Well, no, wait. But you have to do it. You have to do it now in order to have eternal life. Because eternal life is now. It's right in front of you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We know that.
Yeah. The audience needs to know that, too.
Because most individuals think eternal life is after we leave this earthly body.
And it's not.
No, eternal life is the life in the will of God.
Correct.
Right now, it's out of the soul. Life that's out of the soul, out of self, which is a perfect way of putting it, out of self. Because when you come out of self, you are coming out of the soul.
You're coming out of it.
Yeah, when you're not self-centered. You know, your purpose should be for others. It shouldn't be for self. Even though, like, I'll take my own self. Yeah, I want, and I have desires of having a successful life, but that successful life isn't for me to go splurge on it and be frivolous. It's the blessing to give others.
Yeah.
You know, to give the little that I have, I want to give for others, you know, and make them happy and feel peaceful. Like, if I have some food, I'm just like, hey, come and eat, even though I might not have enough for the food. I just eat, you know, or, you know, buy something for the kids or something, you know, here, hey, let me get them something so I can see them full of joy, you know, stuff like that. Or buy something for the wife and, you know, make her happy. But it's all about, you know, giving for others and coming out of self. And when you said that, that was very important for our listeners to understand. Coming out of self is really a crucial part of coming into spirit.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the opposite is, let's say you're having a dinner, but you're hoarding the whole dinner. You know, it's like all about me, and I'm just scourging and splurging in my food and everything. That's what the soul does.
Yeah.
Because it's all about yourself.
Yeah.
You're splurging on that food and that, you know, and you're digesting it, but nobody else is getting any part of it.
No, they're not getting nothing.
It doesn't, the other people around you don't matter.
You know, I'm guilty of that, because there's a lot of food that I don't like, and I'll taste it and be like, oh, this is
ugly. Hey, you want this?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, girls, try this.
Have you tried this yet?
And then when I do like it, it's like, no, you can't have any of this. I'm not sharing it.
You know, a major problem that we're dealing with is most people have been in the soul for so long, and that's all they know.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was on the back of my mind, but it was lost, and now I understand. It's come back up, and I'm glad that you said that. We only know the patterns of the soul.
That's all we know.
We don't know anything else.
And you know, the symptoms of the soul is anxiety, fear.
That's a good
worry.
Point.
Worry.
If you have, if they're you the have symptoms, those things.
The symptoms of the soul. I mean, if you don't have peace.
If you suffer depression.
Yep.
If you know, that's a big one. That's a rampant one right now. I have an individual that I want to address later on, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. I hope we stay in touch. But there's a friend
that is suffering depression. I can bring them out of depression. I know I can bring anybody out of depression if they're willing to hear the truth.
That's it. That's the big if.
If they're willing to hear it.
And accept it.
And
see it.
Yeah.
Because the depression that is brought on anyone is self-motive.
Yes.
That's exactly right. And you have to think to yourself, why am I depressed? And why do I want to keep and preserve the very thoughts that put me in this place in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to preserve the thoughts that put me in depression? Why would I want to preserve the thoughts and keep these patterns in me that made me sick, anxious, fearful, all these things, angry? You know, the symptoms of the soul are so evident. People do what they don't want to do. They say what they don't want to say. Like Pastor said, they're possessed. You can't find peace. You can't stop desiring. I want a wife. You can't stop thinking about it. It burdens you, troubles your heart all day, all night, all day, all night. That desire burdens you, and you can't get rid of it. You know, there's the scripture that comes to my mind is when Jesus said to the woman at the well, "The water that I give you, you'll never thirst again." Mm-hmm. You keep eating the patterns of this world and drinking the patterns of this world. You're always going to be hungry and thirsty. You'll never be satisfied. But the water that I give you is truth that I give you. You'll never hunger or thirst again. And that's what the gospel is.
It brings you peace. This gospel that we have is the water.
Yep.
This gospel that we have is the bread that you'll never go hungry and you'll never go thirsty, and you'll always be content and at peace.
That's right.
Always.
That's right.
The depression really is this. The soul is disappointed it didn't have its desires fulfilled.
And that's where depression is
grasping its straws. It's like, I better hold on.
Think
here.
About it, though. Right. When you're depressed, you're disappointed.
Yeah.
And that's because of yourself. Your soul was disappointed the desire wasn't fulfilled.
Well, maybe it was fulfilled, but desires keep popping up.
A new one.
Like it's a constant.
You're right, because you could have a desire you never get, and you get the desire that you do get. The next thing you want another desire.
It wants more.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the true power of the manifestation of depression, the true power, is they don't know truth.
That's exactly the whole problem.
Correct. See, they're allowing the deception and the lies. The mind
to be their truth,
working so strong on their heart, and it's wrenching and twisting their heart.
Correct.
And it's literally bringing them in such a deep pain.
Yep.
That they don't understand where the pain is coming from.
That's exactly right.
And it's coming from the thought pattern that they have.
You're creating it. You're actually creating his life yourself.
And they're believing all the lies that are encamped in them. And when we are able to sit in front of someone who is depressed, you got to get to the roots.
That's right.
Well, why are you depressed?
Thoughts and intents of the heart.
99.9%. Now, in the beginning, they're going to lie a lot. They're never going to be upfront.
Right.
And they're never going to be honest. And they're going to tell you all kinds of garbage. Yeah. But when you finally get down to the point where they're honest with themselves, they're probably going to say, I didn't get this, or they left me.
Yep.
I don't know why they left me.
It'll all
be about self.
Yep.
And
I'm disappointed because
I was a good person, and I did all this, and I don't understand why I'm being treated this way, and I deserve this. So to come back to that individual and say, well, why do you feel that you deserve this?
Entitled.
You know, why do you feel entitled? Why do you, you know,
why
yes,
you
maybe you were a good person, but why are you taking that reflection on yourself? Maybe that person was just a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be really able to bring light. And that's what it comes down to. The gospel truth is light. And we are encamped, especially someone who is in deep depression, is encamped in darkness.
Correct.
In lies.
Mm-hmm.
And those lies are all self-centered and self-directed.
Preserving.
And it's really killing the individual. I spoke a message about self-pity and how self-pity is the power of the soul. The soul will create self-pity in an individual's life. Well, self-pity is no different than bringing that person into a severe case of depression.
Correct.
When you're self-pity,
It's a woe is me.
Yeah, you're going to come into a depression. Yeah. And it's sad because most of the time, these people that are depressed are really good people.
Yep. Yeah, they are.
They really are. They just, their thoughts are twisted.
Yep. They think that they got screwed in life somehow.
They need to look at the other side.
Yeah.
They need to come out of their little box that they're in and begin to start looking at it in a different light.
You just said it. They're looking here from one perspective only, and that's the perspective of themselves.
So, yeah,
and they're not seeing the other side. They're not even open to the other side, which is the truth. They'll set them free. Right.
Well, that's why it's important.
That's why they need to be honest with themselves and say, you know, that's the hardest thing. People trying to be honest with themselves. Nobody wants to be honest about it because they always want to put the blame game. Because the soul always wants to put the blame on something else rather than self.
Well, the job of the soul is to destroy your life.
Yes.
Yep. And that's really the root. So when someone is encamped into the soul, depending on how deep they get into the soul, some people go so deep, they're heavily medicated.
Yep.
Yeah.
They are now coming out with these, you know, and I don't blame the doctors. I don't blame the prescription or anything like that. I truly believe the fact that because of their lack of knowledge, they don't know what to do with these people.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's becoming so rampant right now. Everyone is now depressed.
Let me make you into a zombie. Here, take this pill. You won't think anymore.
The soul is knowing that we are in an end of an age. And I want our listeners to understand that we're not at like the end of the world. We're at an end of an age. And spiritually speaking, there are many ages. And there's like just like generations. You know, you don't know what an end of one generation is to the next. But we are at an end of an age, and at the end of the age, darkness runs rampant. Now, you have to understand, too, each age, an individual or the soul in itself gets stronger, and it gets stronger. So, yes, there were people who were depressed many, many years ago, okay? And there was severe depression, but not as many, like one out of 100. Now it's like 99 out of 100. And it's because we're reaching another dark age, and this dark age is creating a rampant form of depression where the power of the soul is incredibly great. And that's why it's so important for this gospel message to come out, because this gospel message really battles against the dark powers of this soul and literally comes out with strong truth that a lot of times people don't want to hear. You're not going to make friends with this truth. No. You're not going to make friends with this truth because the soul is so, unless that person trusts you and understands and knows that you have the best interest at heart in that individual's life, the soul is going to lie to that person and say that person is out to hurt you.
Even if you do trust the person, their soul's still going to lie to you.
And tell you it's that person.
Itself.
Yeah. Exactly right. And it's going to say.
They're judging me.
It's going to defend its doctrine. It's going to defend it.
I mean, And it's going to make you look like you're out to hurt them.
Correct.
The soul at this point is so fragile that everything hurts them.
Yeah.
And if you look out in the world today.
Everybody's offended.
Well, that's why the Bible says offended. These offenses must come, because the truth causes offense.
In this age.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly right.
And this is why it's so hard to try to build a church or something under this doctrine. That's why I'm so glad that we have people around the world and on the internet closet listening. I'd rather have them closet listen and get them offended, and they'll get offended, walk away, and then they'll come back and log right back on. You know, when they're in your life and they get offended, it's like, I'm not seeing them at all. And that's fine with me. I don't want to see you either. But but at the same time, you know, we really need to be free. It's all about being free. And I used to share this a lot. This message is not for you if you're not honest with yourself. Yeah. If you're not, as you said earlier, Pastor Tim, as you said earlier, if you're not honest with yourself, this gospel message isn't going to work. It's not going to work. And then you also have to say to yourself, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you have peace and joy in your life? Yeah. Are you happy? Or you have to take medication to be happy. You see? Like, are you living your life altered by prescriptions, or are you living your life altered by natural high? I'm a natural high person. You know, I thank God. Listen, before he changed my life, I was sick. I thought there was something wrong with me, internal, not physically, and not mentally either. I had a sound mind and everything else. Spiritually, there was a part of me that just was not happy. I was sick. I was dying inside. God touched me. Yeah. He called me, touched me, and filled me. And now I am filled with a peace and a joy and a righteousness, and nothing can take that away from me.
You drank the water, man.
I drank the water. And I have this smile. I remember many years ago in the very beginning, this one person actually said, he smiles so much. I just want to wipe that smile right off his face. And it's like, you can't wipe this smile off my face. You can do whatever you want. You're never going to wipe this smile off my face now.
Well, you know, like, if you're listening tonight, you're listening to this message, know this. If you're in spirit, you're not going to take offense because you're always open to truth. But if you're in soul, you're easily offended.
Your soul is offense.
It's offense, man. You're going to constantly be offended with everything that people say or something does, or life steers you in this direction, you get offended. That way you know you're in soul. That's like a test.
You'll never be offended in the spirit, never.
In the spirit, you'll never be offended.
Everything in the soul will offend you.
Everything in the soul will offend
everything.
You.
Everything.
Well, we're going to have to close it. We got our red light. So bring us into a close, pastors. And
thank you. No, but don't forget, Sunday, if you can, make it out here. Make it out here one Sunday, because there's one thing to listen on the web and listen to our messages, but if you get here and you're here, there's an atmosphere that changes your life when you sit in here and you hear the message and you let God just minister to you. That's the truth. You got to get here to feel this.
It's like Pastor Tim was saying. It's all about being honest with yourself and admitting that the thoughts that you've had up to this point have brought you to a place of depression. Hasn't brought you to a place of peace and joy and happiness. You have to be honest with yourself and really admit that the thoughts that you've had, the patterns you've been following your whole entire life, have brought you nothing but misery. And you're not happy. You're not content. You're always hungering for the next big high. You're never ever content. And this truth right here will give you that drink. You're never going to thirst again.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for logging on. If you'd like personal ministry, you can always call us or email us, and we'll reach out to you, and we would love to really bring light in this dark place. The only issue that I will warn you about is you might not like what you hear,
It's not you, it's the soul doesn't like what it's here.
Exactly right. The sin
the
nature
doesn't like it.
It's not you.
I mean, the truth likes
you're
it.
Gonna your spirit's gonna love it. Your soul's not going to like it.
Soul's going to hate it.
And we are very gentle. You know, listen, we have discernment to know that you might not be ready to receive a lot of the truth. Mm-hmm. We're not here to rip you apart or and to point out all your faults. We're just here to bring light to a dark place. That's all.
That's it.
And with that being said, God bless, and stay tuned again on www.glorytothenations.org, and see you later.